Those parts matter to us. It's your wombs we need, and we can take them. Even if we have your arms and legs hacked off your body.
Oh, Christ, you make me want to throw up, lady. Sooner the good Lord takes you to him, the better and cleaner this world's going to be.
It was only a purse blaster, a .22 caliber, but the Dowager Baroness was using cross-filled bullets that expanded like mushrooms when they impacted with their target. Mildred felt the warm breath of the lead as it missed her face by inches and smashed into the wall of the room.
Watch your mouth, you frigid witch bitch!
Nobody moved. Dean's hand was on the turquoise hilt of his favored knife, but Mildred's hand was on his arm, holding him in check.
Your son gave his oath. Ryan comes back in 2 days with the men the Baron wants, and we all go free.
I ought to chill the both of you.
Then Alfred doesn't get himself a new son and heir, does he?
I never saw it. How could I have been so triple stooped to have missed it?
What?
Of course. He's not going to keep his word. That was all shit. If Ryan doesn't come back, he uses us like broodmares and takes Dean as his own. Chills us once we've given him children. And if Ryan does keep his part, the freak bastard Mutie hasn't killed anyway.
Dad'll butcher him!
Words are cheap, little man. Think the Sekhmen would allow anyone close enough to Alfred?
Mildred remembered the mercenaries who'd ridden in from Yuma.
6 mercies took out the little boy, easy as snuffing a candle. You think men like Ryan Carter and John Dix would let treachery pass unpunished?
The Dowager shrugged, her gun still pointed at Mildred.
I don't care.
Dean pushed Mildred away from him, drawing his blade from its sheath, advancing toward the white-haired Dowager.
No! Dad would want me to zero her!
The boy switched the knife from hand to hand, like a magician preparing a trick.
I won't kill you, child.
No, but I'll kill you!
He was less than 10 short strides away from her.
I'll put one through your leg, cripple you, and that'll be a shame. Stop you going running and hunting with your father.
Dean stood still. He'd seen what the .22 had done to a solid wall, and he had more than enough imagination and experience to visualize what the bullet would do to his leg.
Christy?
Yeah, we have to do it soon.
Now.
Why not?
Dean looked at the two women, struggling to hang on to what was going on. The Dowager shook her head in malignant irritation, the gesture making her long hair fall like a curtain over her eyes.
Now!
Christy dove quickly to her right, the sudden movement attracting the attention of the old woman, the barrel of the woman's little revolver swinging toward her. But Mildred also made her play, dodging and crouching to her left, splitting the Dowager's attention. The gun wavered. The door was thrown open, and the towering figure of Baron Nelson strode in, to be confronted by his mother, holding out blood-stained hands.
I'm sorry, my son.
The performance on the previous night had seemed to Ryan to be superbly successful, but both Diego and Ellie had a variety of comments and criticisms, calling everyone together for a discussion after a late breakfast, which was served by a Rosie Owen, who was starry-eyed with delight from her enjoyment of the play.
You was fucking wonderful! All of you! I liked the bit where we all got to fuck together. That was good. That was real good.
They hadn't finished eating when they heard feet clattering along the corridor toward their large bedroom.
Sekhmen, huh?
JB rolled off his bed and grabbed the Smith & Wesson M4000 12-gauge, loaded with flechettes.
Not in here. You don't want a firefight in here.
JB knelt behind the bed, out of sight of anyone coming in, holding the lethal shotgun at the ready. Without even the minimal courtesy of a knock, the door was flung open, and in trooped half a dozen of the Ville's finest, a ragged, vicious crew, unshaven and scruffy. Their leader was one of the guards on the barrier on the blacktop into Yuma.
Told to tell you Baron Sadler's coming tonight. For definite.
Ryan noticed that Ossie Grant was there again, hanging around at the back of the group, his bicolored eyes darting everywhere.
Thanks. We'll be ready at 8 to give him a real good show.
I liked it a lot last night.
The guard who spoke was unable to stop ogling at Ellie, who was lying on the sofa, wearing a thin cotton robe that revealed more of her thighs than it hid. She smiled at him, got up, taking care to show just a little bit more of herself, and kissed the man on the cheeks.
Bless you, my dear sweet man! Bless you all!
I liked it, too.
Just shut your mouth. Carter, That's the message, all right?
Grant and his friends coming to the play tonight?
Yeah. Baron comes and they come. Especially that Rena.
Ossie Grant glowered at Ryan.
One of your group's not here. Word is there's another. A little bastard in glasses.
Yeah, he's at the stable. They left the room, and everyone waited until the sound of their boots had faded away into the morning stillness.
I would rather play 100 years of romantic slush than go through that ghastly moment again. I felt as though I had a big sign flashing upon my forehead. This man is planning to abduct your baron. You know what I mean? And what is all this about John Dix? I can only assume, my friends, that there must be a small something that you haven't told us.
What I know, Diego, you know. J.B. wrapped himself up against the cool wind that had returned from the north. Going out alone in the late morning, and returning after they'd finished eating the rabbit and jalapeno stew, he sat and ladled a plateful for himself, dipping in his spoon, tasting it.
Hey, that's not bad. Got some bite to it.
I helped her cook it. Threw out the meat she was going to serve us. Could have been horse, but it had a kind of layer of green fur to it, so it was hard to tell.
Where have you been, John?
Around the place. Checked the stable again. Thought I'd best make sure that they had the same horses in there. Throw the plan off center if I got there tonight and found there wasn't enough animals to draw the wag out of the alley.
Ryan glanced across the table at his old friend, knowing that JB was lying. Not exactly lying, but not exactly telling the truth either. Not the whole truth. There was something about JB's whole body language that made Ryan suspect that the armorer had finally got the information he'd been waiting for, ever since they first came to Yuma. After the meal had been cleared away, Monsignor Diego Capistrano lived up to his image of being a stern taskmaster.
I insist that we go down to the multiplex and rehearse again, particularly the scene where the villains are tricked into going out to the back. That most especially.
I'll stay here. Ryan, you going?
No. They stood together by the window, watching as the rest of the group walked along the muddied street, down through the sunlit ville, toward Seidler's headquarters.
I like them.
Me too. That boy Knuckles has got a real tilted load to carry all his days. He does well.
You think Ellie's got some kind of an illness, Ryan?
Yeah, you see it?
Rad sickness.
Yeah, that's my guess. Far on. It's a real shame.
Nobody ever said that life was going to be fair, did they?
No. You worried about them not making it all the way across when we make the draw tonight?
JB didn't answer at first, contenting himself with rubbing an index finger over the condensation that lined the inside of the window.
You think there'll be blood in the dirt?
Think it's likely.
That's a fair assessment.
Sure. Never knew you to come up with a bad plan, Ryan. Not in all the years we walked in each other's shadows.
But...
The armorer swung away and walked to sit on the sofa.
But there's likely to be blood spilled in the dirt.
Capistrano or Ellie or Knuckles. They're most likely to be chilled.
Sure. But bullets don't know if you're clever at firefights, do they?
Of course not. Trader used to say that a Full Metal Jacket had an awful lot of power and damn little brains.
We got no choice, have we, Ryan? Unless we go back and try and rescue Mildred, Christy, and the boy. Dark night. That's a more dangerous option than the one we got here.
What did you want to tell me, JB? Just that you weren't happy with what was going down here, is that all?
No.
Because I'm not happy about it either.
It's not that.
Then what?
It's like you said, Ryan.
About this ville?
About the people in it. Well, just one person in it.
Wizard Seidler?
No, not him.
The five killers?
This is a seriously bad scene, friend.
You know one of them? The woman. Not your wife, is she?
No. That'd be an easy one. It's not her, Ryan. Nah, that'd be easy.
Which man? Jennison?
Yeah.
What about him?
Jim Jennison and me are kin, Ryan. He's my half-brother. We got the same father. There. Now you know it.
Ryan stood at the side of the stage, looking out into the auditorium, watching the faces of the audience that filled the dusty plush seats. Wizard Seidler, Baron of Yuma, was in the front row, still wearing the black clothes that made him look like the bald shootist in the film about the seven gunmen, who'd gone to shoot some flies from a village in Mexico. Rena Miller was sitting on his left, her hand busy in the dark shadows that clustered in his lap. 20 Gooseneck was next along the line from the woman. Ossie Grant and Julio